So today, I'm thinking about womanhood from God's perspective. As you can see, I've got my iPad and my notebook here because I'm thinking about serious stuff and I don't want to miss any important part. So this will be a 5-episode series and we'll be just looking at womanhood and the Bible, you know, because throughout history, there have been many misunderstandings and many portions of scripture which have been misinterpreted. And as a result, we have centuries of tradition which illegitimizes the ministry of the woman. And today and in the next coming weeks, we'll just be addressing those problem verses, if I can say, and bringing much clarity towards them. So today particularly, we're talking about a suitable helper. You know, so there's no better place to begin than at the beginning. So we're gonna look at the Genesis account. And when you look at the Genesis account, we're gonna see God creating male and female, and we're gonna get to the place whereby the Bible speaks about a suitable helper. So now, we need to go to Genesis chapter 1. So now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God says, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That was Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Now, let us look at this again. God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And God gives the dominion mandate. When God gives the dominion mandate, he says, "Let them have dominion." And what are they to have dominion over? It is the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle of the field, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we see dominion over the seas, dominion over the skies, dominion over the earth. But there is no way where we see that in God's original design, before sin crept in, before the fall of man, nowhere do we see dominion of one over the other. He says, "Let them have dominion." He says, "Let us make men in our image, in our likeness." The word "the man" is Adam, right? For mankind. He says, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them." It doesn't say "let him have dominion." It doesn't say "let her have dominion." It says, "Let them have dominion." That's verse 27. When you go down to verse 28, in verse 28, it says, "So God created man in his own image, created he him. Male and female created he them." So when it speaks about them, we are aware that it speaks about male and female. So in the them, there is a male. In the them, there is a female. So we need to understand, particularly speaking about womanhood, that the woman regains her womanhood and her emancipation when she is in a position of authority. Because she was meant to have authority in as much as the man was meant to have authority. Now here we are looking at God's creative design before the fall of man. So this is creative order, God's original intent. But there is what we call God's redemptive order. And God's redemptive order kicked into place after the fall of man. And we'll get that in not so long. So I want us to open our Bibles and check the book of Genesis. And I'm going to open it here right on my phone. The book of Genesis, chapter number 5. And I want us to have a deeper look at a number of verses. So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." Now look at verse 2, Genesis 5. "Male and female created he them, and he blessed them, and he called their name Adam in the day that they were created." Do you notice that God called their name Adam? in the day that he created them. So we have Adam, the male. We also have Adam, the female, right? So Eve was only called Eve by Adam, the male, after the fall. You get that? But God called their name collectively, corporately, Adam. And Adam means mankind. So God gave authority to Adam, to Adam, Adama, from the soil, mankind. He gave authority to them. Now, some have a perception that the woman is only an afterthought. You know, that the woman was created solely for the leisure of the man. That the woman was created solely for the vision of the man. You could not be further from the truth. We need to look at the Genesis account in its own unique perspective, because that perspective is unique in all respects and in all regards. Because God, at that moment, it was the creative order. And when God made Adam, he first made the man and then the woman. He was the only man there. And then the Bible says in Genesis 2 that it is not good for a man to be alone. Now that's where the problem starts. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will therefore make a helper suitable for him. Now I want you to notice something. In Genesis 1, when God is creating, after he created everything, he says, this is good, this is good, this is good. And then he makes the man and he says, it is not good that the man is alone. So it was still incomplete because the female was not there. And God says, I will make a help meet for him. A help meet. You understand? So we tend to miss it right here when we speak about a help meet. We think about a helper. We think about someone who's there to help you run your chores and run your life. But that is not what the Bible meant at all. I'll get to that in just a minute. But the woman was not an afterthought. She was not. When the woman was made, it was because the man on his own was insufficient to fulfill the purpose made for mankind. And I believe there was a divine reason God created the way he created. Because man on his own is insufficient and cannot carry out the purpose of God apart from the woman. Now, the contextual issue here and the main purpose for that verse, that it's not good for a man to be alone. It was for the issues of reproduction. Remember, God said, let them be fruitful and multiply. The man cannot be fruitful alone. The man cannot multiply alone. He carries the seed, but the woman carries the womb. We need the womb to nurture the seed. So we all need one another. So herein lies an important principle. An important principle. Whether a feminist or whatsoever you call yourself, here is the important principle. The principle is that male and female, they are equal, but they are not the same. That's where the essential difference lies. A man is equal to a woman, but a man is different from a woman. We need to get that right. We need to be humble enough to accept that plain truth. You understand? And so, it says it is not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a help meet for him. The word help meet, it means a suitable companion, a co-regent, one who will be accountable to another. So when it speaks about help meet, it means the word there is homoios. And that word homoios, it means one who is exactly like, one who will be added strength. So the woman was added strength to fill in his insufficiencies, to fill in his weaknesses. So male and female, rightly related, they are an image of Christ and the church. There is a perspective. So now when children are raised up in the household, they portray and they see an image of God rather being portrayed by husband and wife, by father and mother, and they get a full picture of the father, or of God the Father, through the union of husband and wife. And so the Bible says, let us make a help suitable for him. Now when it speaks about a help suitable for him, I want you to notice that the term help is more rightly attributed to God himself. The Bible many times in the book of Psalms, it attributes the term help for God himself. Have you not read in the book of John how the Holy Spirit is called our helper? So the woman being helper is not in any sense diminutive. It is a characteristic of God. So when God says, let me leave a helpmeet, he was leaving a portion of himself with men. So Psalm 121 and 122, we know the popular psalm, I will lift up mine eyes, 121 verse 1, unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 4, you know, the Lord has become my help, you know. So God is our help. So when you look at the term help and attribute it to the woman, it is in no way undermining her. It is in no way reducing her humanity. If anything else, it is giving her a godly attribute. So this is what you need to understand, that at the fall of man, in redemptive order, so that God can start the plan of redemption, he says that the woman will now submit to the man. Submission is a good thing, but there is something better than submission: oneness. Because before the fall, we don't read about anyone submitting to another person. Submission was institutionalized to remedy the effects of the fall. But there is a place greater, a place called the simplicity of oneness. Because before the fall, there was no need for superiority or hierarchy. Any selfish attitude like that was swallowed up in the simplicity of unity. Now make sure